Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Day Beautiful. I'm Adam Vitkavage, and this is a podcast where I interview a debut author about their reading and writing history, what inspires them, their debut book from Genesis to editing it, and from querying agents to finally selling it. If you like what you hear here, check us out on daybeautiful.net and follow us on social media at daybeautiful. Before we get started today, I just want to say that there is going to be some audio quality dips just due to the nature of how we had to record this, but it is a still amazing interview, so sit through it and get on it. Today's guest has probably my favorite author bio of all time. She is a lesbian writer. A Good Happy Girl is her first novel. Please welcome Marissa Higgins. Hey Marissa, I just read your very short, very amazing official bio, but I'm curious, what is your unofficial bio? Who is Marissa Higgins?
Yeah, I think my unofficial bio is just that I am the writer of A Good Happy Girl. I try to keep a pretty low profile if I can. I hate attention, so I just try to keep it really short.
I love it. You are the writer of A Good Happy Girl, which is out now by the time this podcast comes out. What is the book about from your perspective? I love to cut through the publicity copy. How do you pitch it to friends off the radar in your low profile?
Yeah, I think of A Good Happy Girl as a book that's being told. Like, I find my main character is Helen, and her voice came to me really early in the writing process from the beginning. And I always felt like Helen was telling her story to the reader. Like, that kind of old-fashioned model of writing really appealed to me, especially with a plot that I know is a little weird and a little different. And I found the combination to be really compelling for me. And so I tend to just describe the book as really dark, really weird, uncomfortable. Yeah, I feel like the plot to me has always just been Helen, who is troubled and depressed and kind of squandering her 30s, is really trying to make peace with the person that she is, coming from the family that she has. And the start of the book opens with Helen meeting a pair of married lesbians, Catherine and Katrina, who she refers to throughout the book as the wives. They kind of prod at her and her estrangedness and her avoidance and dig deeper than other people have. And I think it moves along in Helen, this kind of opening for her to see if her bad behavior, if her unsettling desires can be welcomed, or if it's just another pair of lesbians who pretend or who hope that they'll be able to handle her strangeness, but are too put off and run away, or too genuine and make her uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when did you start thinking about this book? I know you work in like media and you're in like the news world, but when did the creative writing take place in your life?
Yeah, so Helen's story, Helen, all of the characters, first came to me actually when I was in it was spring. It was the first spring of COVID, maybe like May or April 2020. And I was doing like an online writing workshop. And Helen and the Wives were first part of a short story that I submitted to class. And it went very poorly. No one was terribly taken by it, but I was. The feedback I got, I think, it pushed me to kind of solidify what it was I wanted to do. And I don't know that the weirdness really went over well then, but it pushed me to really think about why I valued it and what I was looking for in Helen. And so I turned it into a novel. And then by that summer, I started pitching agents, which was probably too soon because I didn't really give it a lot of time to rest. But I just kind of write fast. And so by the following spring, I had signed with my agent, who ended up selling the book to Catapult, where my editor, Alicia, has been really wonderful and a great reader for the book. But I had many rejections. Helen's story was really hard. People just it I think it's just a hard sell, honestly, and I can't even hold it against anyone. But I have to credit that it was an online fiction workshop with Garth Greenwell. And so I have to give that credit for really getting me into writing fiction because I'd been in the nonfiction world for a while, and it really cracked open something in me for sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned how you started querying agents like too soon. Then you didn't let it sit. How much of this world, the fiction world, the literary, the publishing industry, were you aware of? Like, were you like, did you understand it, or were you flying by the seat of your pants?
Yeah, so I was familiar in that I had been writing nonfiction, like journalism, as well as essays. And right before COVID, I had done a nonfiction workshop through Tin House. And so over the years, I had some like agents reach out to me with ideas for like nonfiction book proposals. Nothing ever really clicked for me, but I had some familiarity through that. And definitely, like at that time, Twitter was a really good resource for me in terms of querying. But yeah, really, all of the advice said to get beta readers and just, sit on it, maybe find a mentor or something. But I don't know, it just didn't resonate with me. I just felt like I don't know. I guess I just wasn't convinced that it would matter. And I think I got really lucky in connecting with an agent who was willing to put like the, I guess frankly, like the time, the labor into getting my very messy book into something she could take on submission. So I revised quite a bit with her, and then on submission, with the book to editors, I actually had to do a revise and resubmit for Catapult before they offered. So I did write it quickly, and then I have edited it many times over.
What was the early book like compared to what it is now? You keep saying messy, which I love a messy book. I love a book where I'm just like, I love it. Yes, okay, give it to me, the vibes. But yeah, what was it like, and what needed to become less messy as time went on?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the opening of the book and the end of the book have remained the same. Almost like the scenes and the circumstances have stayed the same. Certain plot points, Helen's grandmother, her parents being incarcerated, those things were the same. My agent really encouraged me to write the sex, which I had been uncertain about when querying because I was really nervous that agents would just be like put off or uncomfortable or just that they like wouldn't feel comfortable getting something so explicit in their inbox, honestly. So I had been holding back, and she encouraged me to get that into the book. And she also really, she taught me everything about plot and pacing. And so we went over so many different ways to make Helen like fall apart and to have the consequences of her own actions be what held her accountable in her world. I think in earlier drafts, I wrote Helen, the main character. I think I let her get out of pain at points. I sort of let other unimportant or like side characters hold importance by being the ones to do like to be her own antagonist, I guess. And it I realized that it for Helen it feels more honest if she only has herself to blame, like for the if the bad things that happened to her, if the conflicts in the book go back to her and her own actions, it felt more honest and I guess probably more interesting than having like side characters kind of push the plot along and bringing new issues into her life. Helen has so many issues herself that finding ways to draw the conflict out of her, I think, ended up making the book hopefully more compelling, but definitely more honest. Yeah.
Definitely. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I might be wrong. I think I saw a tweet or like something on Instagram at one point a few weeks, months ago about how like everyone, including myself, we talk about like the sex in the book. And, like that's like the blurbs and how sexy and like sultry it is. And I think you said something that like wasn't against that, but it was like it's just weird that everyone's focusing on that one aspect of the book. And then just correct me if I'm wrong. Is that a tweet or an Instagram that did kind of come out? And how do you feel about when like media like I think it's funny because that's why I always ask, what's your perspective of the book? Because readers and media and blurbers take certain things and just run with it, I feel.
Yeah, I'm sure I did say something like that. I don't even remember now, but I'm sure I did. Yeah, I think just what's interesting to me is I think I expected or imagined maybe that readers would have more engagement or interest in Helen's parents. Their incarceration and the storyline with Helen's grandmother and brother, the sort of background and the court case, like the parallel plot to the wives. But yeah, I think I don't know if people are just shocked at how the sex is written, or if it is simply the idea of the sex, or if it's because of the throuple. I'm not sure, but it is yeah, the sex, I think the only hesitation I have in people reading it because they're intrigued by the sex is that they may be hoping for something more in the realm of like a romance, and I don't know that the sex that's written satisfies that. I mean, that wasn't exactly the world I was thinking of when I was writing them. So that's my only concern for readers who might really want like a spicy book, so to speak. They might not exactly expect what I actually wrote.
No, and that's I'm glad like you phrase it like that because I follow writers well after I interview them, and then every now and then people either post like a funny Goodreads screenshot or like a tweet in response, and it's like you said this book was X and it was Y, and the response is like, no, the author never said any of that. That was just like the rest of the world putting their projections on it.
It's exciting stuff to see how people contextualize any kind of book. I mean, I'm grateful for however people talk about it, to be sure, because Helen is a tough protagonist to access, I think. And so whatever gets people reading, I appreciate. I just I don't always know if I am delivering what the people are hoping for, but we will see.
For sure, for sure. So after that Garth Greenwell class, I guess I'll go back to that. What was the main thing you took away of like, oh, okay, I got this. This clicks.
Yeah, I think it was this idea of like style, and that what I don't think in my early fiction writing I was being quite. I don't know that I gave enough, that I trusted the reading enough to. It's like I think I was really focused on like sentence by sentence, and I wasn't really thinking about like paragraphs and pages and like what a book as a thing is, right? Like it's not just these snippets or these certain moments that like it is its whole own thing. And I think what I really took away from that workshop was like that readers can and do care about like the spirit of the thing, about like the daringness, about like the movement of it, and it doesn't necessarily have to be familiar for people to get on board. And I don't know that I'd ever, I guess I'd never really thought about style for me as a writer, and I definitely didn't think it was something, I don't know, I felt like style in writing was something that like people discussed about your work, but was sort of a weird thing to be prioritizing in writing. But yeah, my classmates and definitely the instructor really were fantastic. I mean, they were so varied, and I've learned so much just by reading what other people submitted, honestly, like how much range and playfulness exists on the page. Like, yeah, it was a really good experience, honestly, like in spite of Helen not charming the group exactly. it definitely felt really encouraging. Yeah, and so I think I just, even now in the other projects I'm working on, I think so much about voice and about like what commitment to a voice and a rhythm on the page can do. It feels really liberating to me for sure. It just feels so much more like I can really build a connection with myself and the page, that I'm not just thinking about it in terms of like acts or tension or you know, conflict points, like rising action, whatever, that there's some kind of magic to be had in committing to like a way of writing. For me, it just feels so freeing for sure.
Yeah, what sort of things do you want to explore with your writing moving forward? Not necessarily like what are you working on now, but like what excites you in the future, you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Well, right now what I'm hopefully trying to pull together is for A Good Happy Girl, for Helen's book. It's all in, it's like one point of view, the first person and kind of the retrospective, like the looking back and telling. And then for my next book that's out with Catapult next year is a rotating point of view between two characters. And one is the first person present, and one is the like distant third. And so they sort of rotate back and forth. And then what I'm working on now, what I'm hoping to pull together, is going for like a full omniscient, kind of like, all-knowing God, kind of. I think of it as like old-fashioned, that the kind of like big group of like characters who the reader here, the reader knows everything. So that kind of like dramatic irony versus, what the reader knows and what the characters know. So yeah, that's my, it's kind of hard and weird for me to write that way because I feel like it's so sort of like risky, like especially trying to write anything that feels a little funny, I feel can definitely go awry. But yeah, I really want to keep challenging myself to write like voices and point of view and everything, really different project to project. Like I don't know, like for me, the voice, Helen's voice for Good Happy Girl is like a closed door now. I don't know that I can ever write another book that feels like it's the same sort of like telling. It feels like for each project I feel more excited when I can like learn and really like hone those skills and kind of push myself and build up something different. I don't want to, I think something I don't want is for readers to, if I'm so lucky, but if readers were to read more than one book by me, I would hope that they don't, that they're almost like not able to confuse them, even though they're both by me, that they feel different and like their own world, their own object. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. And the next book from Catapult in next year is currently titled Sweetener. Is that still the case?
Yeah, as far as I know, for A Good Happy Girl, my title changed after it was announced because I discovered there is already a very successful book called The Wives, and I was like, there's no way this is gonna help me at all. So we basically just came up with like a list of alternate titles, like pulled from the text, and that's how we got A Good Happy Girl. But as far as I know, Sweetener is still the title. I think I only have Ariana Grande as the other big Sweetener name, so I can
Yeah,
live with that for sure.
that's fair. I want to talk two more questions. One is about the book cover, and one is just what you've been reading. This book cover is probably one of my favorite book covers in a while. Just like so up close, so deliciously burger. Talk about the book cover, the process, why it's this. I just love to hear more about book covers.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so Catapult originally offered me this cover plus another one to kind of like choose between, and then I went with this cover immediately, and then they offered some variations on like font and spacing, like that sort of thing. But yeah, I was totally drawn in, like totally compelled by like how kind of gross and gritty the picture is, how sort of almost like feral and also intimate, being so close up, and the sort of like messy hair, the burger bulging. It felt so Helen to me, like I could honestly, I guess, like when I'm talking about Helen's voice, it's like sort of like telling her story to the reader herself. I can almost imagine as she's telling it, like Helen is the voice of Helen like eating the burger on her. It's a different voice next to her in like a diner or a bar, still story that's on the page. I think the cover is meant to represent a moment towards the end of the book where Helen does ask pounding a veggie burger, like
in her teacher head. I think it's a thing.
But yeah, I don't know. I was so drawn to it. Some of people who know me in real life did caution me a little because, like, I think, I guess, oddly or coincidentally, the picture does look like more than a little like me. And so some people who know me were like, like that, like that's a little odd. And I was like, yeah, but it's just meant to be, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I loved it. I absolutely love it. I couldn't ask for a better cover. Yeah, and then I don't honestly remember exactly the order, but I think when we were going over the title change too, it was my editor at Catapult, Alicia, who really pushed for like a title that like a title that had like some tension, like some humor, contrasted with the image, right? Like something, we didn't want something I think that would feel like a good happy girl suggested that Helen is actually a happy person, right? Like some kind of contrast and some kind of tension between the image and title. And yeah, I mean it delivered for me. I haven't seen cover options for the next one, but I have like complete faith that it'll be just as good. They definitely really nailed it for me, I
Yeah.
think.
No, I love it. Yeah, and then just wrapping up, like, what are you reading? What are you watching? What interests you right now or in the future or I guess in the past? What's on your radar?
I love it. Yeah, so I actually just finished this morning a really incredible novel. I might be saying the writer's name wrong in advance, apologies. But it's called Housemates, Housemates by Emma Copley Eisenberg.
Yeah.
I got an advanced like copy from NetGalley and I consumed it in about a day. It's beautifully written and really, really contemporary but also different. It's like about young people today and I feel like so many books kind of have that like millennial malaise idea, but the writer nailed it. It's actually so fresh and so smart. That one I can't recommend enough. I also just finished, the writer's name is escaping me, but it's a Japanese novel. I think it's in translation, it must be, called Butter. And it's like a it's like about food and a potential serial killer, and it's just absolutely delightful. It's really weird. I kind of had to push myself because I don't always get on well with long books, which is my own issue. But by the time I was at like the 60% mark, I wanted nothing more than to somehow find the writer and ask how they pulled it off because it really got me. Like at first I was like, I don't know that I really get it. And then I was completely consumed by it. Like my eyes hurt, but I was like, oof, you got me. And then what else? Another book that I read a few months back now, but I have to shout it out because it's also coming out the same day as mine, on April 2nd is, or I guess it'll be out by the time people are hearing this, but it's a short story collection by Jessie Wren Marshall called Women in Peril. It's just utterly fantastic. I think the first story, like I don't want to spoil, but it for anyone out there who's considering it, like the first story I think will like probably never leave you. In particular, I think about it all the time, and like if you like that first one, you'll just devour the rest of the collection. It's excellent. I think it's maybe speculative or science fiction is what it probably be categorized as. But her her writing is just so good and so sharp. And everything in it just feels really fresh. I loved it. And then I think next, I love to read. I think the one I'm reading next that I haven't opened yet, but I'm excited for is I think it's out in the fall. And it's called Blue Light Hours, maybe Blue Hours by her first name is Bruna. I am so excited for this book. I also I love the cover. I find it really it feels like when you really want a hug from someone who's gone. I don't know if that makes sense, but something about it, I'm like this book is gonna hit some longing part of me. I can just feel it. I can't wait.
Thank you so much to Marissa Higgins for joining the Day Beautiful podcast to discuss her debut novel, A Good Happy Girl. And thank you for sitting through. We had some audio issues just based on where Marissa had to be when we were recording it. You can find her on Instagram at @MarissaHiggins_. And you can get her book, A Good Happy Girl, anywhere you get your books, preferably an independent bookstore. You can find me, Adam, @VitCavage on all social media. Check out Day Beautiful at daybeautiful.net and @DayBeautiful on all social media. And as always, I'm Adam, this is Day Beautiful, and you're all beautiful.